who performed the elemental breaths as they were given by Hasarada Nayak Khan. And again, they are prescribed in different ways from different esoteric schools, but what I'm offering you is what Hasarada Nayak Khan has given us. We are asked during this breath to concentrate with eyes closed, although if it helps you to know if you're concentrating at the right point, you can leave your eyes slightly open and hooded, because they're prescribed areas of concentration that are on the face and the head. The reason for this is connected to the very old system of yoga, and when we concentrate our eyes in that way, it draws the energy in a particular way up the spine and focuses it at certain points in the head that have a mystical dimension, but also a physical dimension. So the base part of the brain, the parasympathetic part of the brain, the pineal gland, this area that creates a sense of well-being, the hypothalamus gland also is responsible for giving a sense of inner peace, inner warmth. So all of these areas get stimulated by these postures used by the eyes being fixated on these points. So, first, with eyes closed or slightly open, you're concentrating at the tip of the nose. So you're drawing your awareness, but also your glance is going there. As you do that, and you breathe, you'll have a feeling, perhaps, that arises somewhere in the head. You may also have the sense of the energy rising up the spine. Could be a tingling, a luminosity. What it's physically doing is it's pulling the fluid up through the spine, bringing it to the base of the skull. You may or may not have a sense of that, but I'll just give you that as a foundation of what's actually happening. Concentrating at the tip of the nose, there you see a gemstone in the color of like a yellow topaz, and you're breathing that light in through, not your nostrils, through the tip of the nose and allowing it to enter your body. If you can, concentrate on that color entering the body through the tip of the nose and penetrating to the back of the skull. It's an elaborate visualization, but once you begin to understand it, it will have the most extraordinary results in the most beautiful and profound way. So we'll take a little bit of time to concentrate your glance at the tip of the nose, imagining there this beautiful light or gemstone of a yellow topaz, and you're breathing in and out the nose. Nothing more than that. You're breathing in that color, and when you exhale, you're concentrating on this action of spreading out like the earth. And we're drawing in the quality of earth. And what is that? Think of it. Mountains with stability, with majesty. The groundedness that gives us confidence and courage. This is the element of earth. We're invoking that element in the elemental world, and we are corresponding with that element in our very being. And we're breathing in and out the nose. And we breathe in that light. And when we breathe out, we expand and we spread. And we feel the purification of the earth as we offer any impurities, like almost a kind of manure back to the earth for its own fertility, and ours too. Now allow the glance to shift. You're concentrating at the bridge of the nose, just where the nose comes out of the head. There, at the bridge, you see there this beautiful gem, an emerald, luminous. This is the color of water. It's beautiful, clear green. But as was indicated in the teachings, it's like a gemstone. All the colors are there also, but the predominant color is green. And you're breathing that light in through the bridge of the nose. This is a subtle breath. Again, we're so accustomed to this coarse breath. In the nose, lungs go out, in and out. No, we can actually breathe in more subtly through these centers. You're breathing in this color of green, and also allowing this green light to penetrate all the way through the skull. It sends a vibration to the water element in the body. It invokes the water element from the elemental world, the kind of prayer and invocation that's in the breath. You draw that in, and you breathe in through the nose while concentrating at the bridge of the nose, breathing in the light, and then you breathe out the mouth. The motion is descending. It's a natural release and a natural flow. Water element teaches us how to be graceful, how to be in the flow and rhythm of life. Use that water element in baptism. We use it to cleanse our bodies externally. We drink it to cleanse internally. And as we breathe out through the mouth, we expel anything that's of an impure nature. And we draw in the sustenance of the water again in the inhalation. And we gently release with the exhalation. Again, you may feel subtle sensations in the head, tingling, pressure, a kind of light there. Just let it be. Don't analyze it. No, I'm doing a good practice. I'm doing a bad practice. We're just practicing. And each practice is new. So while one might entertain a mild curiosity and awareness, one doesn't get caught in that either. Just stick with the practice. goes upward, as if it's looking at the center of the forehead, but actually just perhaps in front of the center of the forehead, where there we see this beautiful, luminous gem stone of a ruby, and light is flashing from that ruby. And when we breathe in that color again through the center of the forehead, so the breath is happening at the forehead. This is the element of fire. And we breathe in the mouth and out the nose. You can see now that the motion of the breath is rising like a fire, a flame. And we breathe in the mouth and out the nose. Eyes are concentrated upward towards the center of the forehead, breathing the red light coming from the gemstone, allowing it to penetrate all the physical and subtle levels. And we're invoking the fire element, the element that gives us energy, the element that illuminates, the element that represents aspiration. We light our candles when we begin our prayers, our invocations. We breathe in through the mouth and out through the nose. Again, the breath is actually being drawn through the forehead, and the light is red. Glance goes up to the crown area. It's as if one is looking through the top of one's own head. And there we see this beautiful gemstone, a blue sapphire, the color of air. And we breathe in the mouth and out the mouth. Glance up, as if looking at the gemstone, at the crown, and we breathe that light in through the crown, in the mouth, and out the mouth. Air, being the element of inspiration. Air, the element of expansion. Man's desire to fly like a bird. Think of all the fabulous inventions and imaginations that came throughout the ages to be able to be in flight. This is the element of air, imagination, creativity. Thank you. one is seeking for a new insight or a new direction to, I'll use the word problem, but I think you know what I mean in terms of problem solving. One can use the air element to hoist oneself up. Instead of staying in the earth is a very dogged and plodding, but it has its function, but one needs the inspiration and creativity of air to open up new vistas. You know, it's like standing at the top of a mountain, getting a whole view. In and out the mouth, glance cast upward at the crown. You may feel the energy has drawn itself up to there. And now cast the glance up above your head. The instructions that were given were about a meter. You can think of that distance, but it's maybe an arm's length above the head. And there we see a brilliant diamond. And like a diamond, it's white in nature, and yet, like a diamond, when the light comes through it, we see all of the colors reflecting and dancing. And this we see above the head. We concentrate our glance. Now we're looking up through the top of the head at this diamond. And from above, from spheres upon spheres, light upon light, the Nur al-Anwar, we know that there's light coming from all directions through that diamond, and as it comes through the diamond, it penetrates our being and also cascades around our being. Here's this light, the light of the countenance, the light of the aura is being illuminated. The breath becomes very subtle, and it's in the nose and out the nose, in a kind of equipoise, very natural, but also very subtle, but the glance is high. The consciousness has now raised above the denseness of the earth. United with all the illuminated souls, pour upon us thy love and thy light. And this is the breath of ether. Now you can let this just be, this concentration, this breath, and with extreme gratitude we offer our reverence to these elements on which our very being is made. upon which the survival of our very being depends. And you know, in the beautiful music of India, the ragas are developed as a kind of prayer or invocation of these elements. And the masters looked at nature, and the ragas were developed in accordance with the different times of day, in accordance with the different seasons, to tune the singer, the practitioner, and also the audience to those vibrations. And the great masters have frequently gone into nature, where those elements reside, a place where they can have, be in the earth in a cave, but also have that aspect of being able to be in the sun, the fire, and near water, and where there's fresh air. There's a reason for that. Now, I'd like for you to do this following breath, and you can do it at your own, begin when you begin, but here are the instructions. And I'll repeat them a couple times, so just stay in your sort of relaxed state of mind. I'm going to ask that you close off your left nostril. You'll breathe in through the right nostril only to the count of three. You'll hold to the count of three, you'll close off the right nostril and breathe out through the left nostril to the count of three. So maybe let's do it together and I'll talk us through and then you can continue. So we're closing up and this will remain the same cycle. We're not going back and forth like sometimes is done. So we're closing off the left nostril. We breathe in the right nostril. Hold, two, three, out the left nostril, two, three, in the right, hold, out the left, in the right, hold. Out the left, in the right, hold, out the left, in the right, hold. Out the left, in the right, hold, out the left, and just go to a neutral breath, but notice the body. Notice the quality of the mind, Notice any thoughts, feelings, sensations that might arise. Ask yourself, and just take note, no elaboration, does one side of the body feel more alive, more dense, more awake? These are just sort of words to get you to be aware of the body. What is the nature of one's emotional state? Is it reflective or is it projective? Is it more passive and receiving, or is it active and giving? In the thought realm, do things appear to be solid or more open and amorphous? We'll reverse the breath. We're going to do it the opposite direction. We will also take note then, and we can have a little dialogue afterwards if you so wish. So now we're closing off the right nostril. We're going to breathe in the nostril. We'll hold. We'll breathe in the left nostril, hold, and breathe out the right nostril. And I'll talk us through it. We'll just do it together in a similar rhythm. So breathe out, but hold your right nostril. And breathe in the left. Hold. Out the right. In the left. Hold. Out the right. In left. Hold, out right, in left, hold, out right, in left, hold, out right. Left, hold, out right, in left, hold, out right. And now just go to your natural breath, but observe the body. Be mindful, is it different than when we were in the previous breath? And if so, how? Do you notice one side of the body more than the other? And what is the emotional state? Is it more active? Is it passive? Notice. Does it feel like the moon, or does it feel like the sun? What's the quality? And what about in the feeling realm? Does one feel more active, called to action, or does one feel receptive? Thank you. is there a quality of light? And if so, is the light rather strong or is it more subtle? Anyone would like to share, I'm sure it'll be very illuminating.
First passage, I felt heavy on the right side. And on the second passage, I feel energized.
Energized, yeah. On the second cycle.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
The first breath on the right, much more active, brighter, more intense. On the left, passive, calm, sweet, gentle.
So on the first series, you felt
active.
Really? Okay, very good. And the other one, the opposite.
Okay.
Anyone else?
The opposite, actually. Because the first one was it was like the panoramic peacefulness, and then the second one was really very bright.
Interesting, we should take note that there might be some channel switching going on. And I'll read from the teachings and we'll see what Hazrat and Icon has to say. Premigita, what about you? Do you want to share? No?
No.
Okay. We're missing your voice. Cabrilla?
Well, on the first one, similar experience to Joe, however, I very much felt this. You know, there were colors for me this time, and there was a kind of blue, kind of like a crescent moon. You were talking about the sun and the moon, and it was very visual in that way, feeling of a crescent moon, and then on the second, very very radiant oranges and reds.
Anyone else? Is there something else?
No, I was just thinking about the vibrancy of the color. A lot of times I don't have that with this practice. It's more of a kind of general feeling of light. But it was very... very vibrant.
But you see, I suspect when you've done this practice in the past, have you done all these other practices leading up to it?
I don't think with the depth of the... There's something today, because also with the elemental practice, the elemental breath, those colors were very vibrant,
yes,
also for me today. And I think that this coming after the experience of that practice has really
opened things up.
Yeah.
So it shows you how those breaths can sort of unlock other keys. You know, they're keys to doors within doors within doors. So that's why when we're in our daily practice, we're always focusing purification breaths, then elemental breaths, then these alternate nostril breathing breaths. You see, they're incrementally prescribed. So keep that in mind if you're a practitioner. Yes.
The elemental breaths, I think the difference today was you're bringing a gemstone.
Yeah, that's
it,
a good one, isn't it?
So intense and vibrant.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. I think I've done that before, and perhaps you haven't been here, but that, I think, is a really good key for color for people, because it's like, well, what do you mean green for, you know, water? But it's like, yeah, the color of an emerald, you know, is beautiful visualization. And it was often the one, do you remember Murshida Viri used to give that practice, visualizing with Wahabo through the heart, and that emerald, she always described it as emerald green, passing from left to right. Such a beautiful practice. We should do that as a group. Yes?
You also today said it in a way that was, I thought, really helpful. You said breathe in through the place where it was.
Yeah.
I thought, all right.
Yeah, I got that.
That was really concrete.
Yes. Well, since Murshida Viri has popped in, let's do that practice that she used to give to so many of us. If the Wazifa is Wahabo, and Wahabo was also one of the few Wazifa practices given by Hazrat Anay Khan, and it was given to people with the emphasis of progressing their lives. So if there was a project that needed to unfold, or an aspect of one's inner being, or if I mean, it's something that can be used. In fact, in her last instructions to us, she gave it with Mui, didn't she? Mui Wahabo. You remember? We shared that. But it was... But we'll just do Wahabo, because she frequently gave that, and Hazrat Anay Khan gave that as a single practice. But the visualization, and it's interesting, because when I've traveled with other Sufi friends and we come across moving water, we just naturally flow into that practice, but we always orient ourselves so that the river is flowing this way. So it's flowing from your left to your right. It's an aspect of progression, of moving around obstacles, of clearing the path. You see how this can be used? And you're visualizing this stream of emerald green crossing through the heart, and you make the motion with your head from left to right. If you can just do that with me, while visualizing this flow of emerald green water through the heart. And we say, Yawahabo. 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 And Murshida Viri used to give the sound like this. You correct me if I... She maybe gave it different to different people, I don't know. But she always said, Yawahabo. Like a sound of a river.
Yeah.
You remember that? So we won't bo. It's bo, like the sound of a rushing river, okay? So we'll begin again. And we always use ya when we do the first set of the practices, and we'll do it 11 times. And we'll say ya wahabo. And ya is kind of, we begin the practice with ya because it's like, oh dear, oh beloved. And then we'll, the second 11, we'll drop the ya because, well, I've heard it described, at first the beloved's like on the other side of the valley, you know, and we're calling to them, like, hey you, come over here, right? So we use ya, like, beloved, I'm over here. But then we drop it because, well, we don't have to keep yelling once it's the beloved's come close. So then we just whisper, Wahabo. Wahabo. We just say it. And then we just subtly do it with the breath, breathing it in and out 11 times. Okay? So, yes, nice. We have our head to the left, and we say, Ya Wahabo. Yeah. Yama. Now just whisper. Just breathe in that quality of progression, unfoldment, removing all obstacles in that vibration of Wahoo. So on this teaching of Jalal and Jamal, this again is from the Inner School Esoteric Sufi Teachings, the section number 6, Polarity in Breath. And this is on power of breath. I do want to mention, for those of you that don't already have these texts, if you're interested in studying them further, we have a selection of the text here available for sale. So they're there and they're available for you. The power of breath is also related to other major factors. And now this is just coming after the five elements, you know, in the sequence. So we've read the five elements. We did that practice. Now, I wanted to let you have the experience of the breath before I read this to you, so you could affirm for yourself your own experience of the breath. So let me go back. The power of breath is also related to other major factors, such as the opposite polarities of Jalal and Jamal. The Jalal nature is courageous, determined, and expressive, whereas the Jamal nature is receptive, kind, and inspiring. So let me ask you again, on that first breath, because we had differing experiences, the first breath, would you have described it as the nature of being receptive, kind, and inspiring, or the nature of determined, expressive, courageous? You would describe it then as the nature of being receptive and kind and inspiring. I think most of you had that experience. Not you though, Gayham. It'd be interesting if we reversed. Because in truth, that breath was meant to invoke those. So that's very interesting, and one might look at that, because that might be an indication of something else, a polarity in the body that maybe needs to come in. I don't know if there's been a discomfort in the body or pain anywhere, I can't say, but it might be an indication that we need to work with this breath to switch that polarity for you. You see how informative it is.
Right.
Okay, so then the second breath was more of the indication of the brilliant, warm colors, expressive, courageous, one might say. So, I mean, it seems that most of you had that experience on the second breath. Am I correct? Well, you see, I didn't need to tell you. You could do the breath. But it is interesting, and I'm happy that, I mean, I'm not necessarily happy, but I think it's good for us to see this, and then you and I can maybe talk privately at another time about this, because it's indicating something, and it's good for us to know that. Okay. So these two polarities, called Shiva and Shakti, in the Vedantic terms, may be likened to the sun and moon. So one's radiant and one's reflective, absorbing. The Kamal, so we've heard Jamal. Jamal is the receptive. Jalal is the active. Kamal is somewhere in between. So it says, the Kamal condition is the simultaneous activity of both polarities resulting in the annihilation of the very nature of each. And creating a perfect balance. Now, one can also see this sometimes in nature. For example, when a storm comes, things get very agitated and very busy, and then all of a sudden there'll be a calm. But sometimes after that calm comes another storm. And so I've noticed it even if I'm noticing sometimes if I'm out and about and things seem very still, I've realized that things have come into a Kamalic nature. But one needs to be mindful of that, because sometimes the weather can either shift suddenly, or you'll notice there will be some accidents, fender benders will happen. If I'm in a restaurant, I'll notice people, the sound of breaking glass. Sometimes, in order for that, there's that state of annihilation, and for things to begin the cycle again, there's sometimes shifts. I think that's when also people can have the tendency towards arguing. You see, so to be aware of those cycles is very good. Paradox, so I'm going to go back and read that. The Kamal condition is the simultaneous activity of both polarities, resulting in the annihilation of the very nature of each, and creating a perfect balance. Paradoxically, this produces failure in material activities, but is a source of spiritual attainment, where the annihilation of the self prevails, called in poetic terms, the bowl of poison of Mahadeva. It is clear that, besides physical and mental efforts, there are great powers available which may help one to accomplish one's ideal. However, any abuse or misuse of these powers, such as thought reading or prophesizing for egotistical purposes, contradicts the noble principles of mysticism and can never be of any real profit nor prove to be of any spiritual value. So we can say that as one does these practices, one develops a kind of intuition, maybe an insight, maybe a perception about things, but that isn't the goal. You know, and certainly not to invade another's personal inner world. But it also is useful at the same time if one has the attitude that these are precious things that are unfolding within one and that can be offered as benefit. So there's a balance there. You know, I think the caution is not to fall into that charlatanism, you know, where we're making great claims of, you know, occult or psychic powers. We're not interested in that. We're interested in making our way and being of use to humanity and others. Mm-hmm. Mm. Are there any questions or comments?
What is the name, you know, I know people name Kamal. Is it a conscious naming of a child for that principle?
Names that are given in frequently in the old world, and I think some people that are awake to that give those names for very specific reasons, yes. There's so much in the vibration. I maybe said this to some of you before, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but perhaps it bears repeating. I remember last time I was in India and I was with Karunamayi. And the man that was, you know, we've become friends with him, but he was our driver, our taxi driver. And he really wanted to meet her. And she was in the hospital at the time, but he said, can I please meet, you know, the mother? And so I said, well, I will ask. I'm sure she'll, you know, be happy to meet you. So she asked him some questions, and one of the things that she asked was about the name of his daughter. And she begged him, she said, I really want you to change the name. I mean, how radical of an idea is that? But she said, that name will be it doesn't have the proper vibration for that child. And she didn't know it, but the truth was that he had had a terrible circumstance that had arrived with his wife, and they were no longer together. This is the power of the word in vibration. And we know that from those studies that the Japanese doctor, Dr. Emoto, is doing with the water and the crystalline studies of the vibration, you know. Any other comments or questions? Things to keep in mind till we next meet is just using the breath to clarify the inner world and the outer world both. If one's feeling stuck, do something different. Also observe the breath. By changing the breath, we've heard it from a mystical point of view and also a scientific therapeutic point of view, one of our friends here that works in that realm. How the breath actually does things to the hormones of the body. Change the breath. Change the rhythm. If one's needing to be inspired, perhaps one breathes in the left, right nostril. And if one's needing courage, one breathes in the right and out the left. Many of these things, as I said, you'll find in these books and also the practice manual in the little folder. So if you need guidance, reminders of these instructions, you will find them there. Practice that. rhythm. Notice when it's in harmony and when it's not. Close the class with the prayer cartoon. And I would ask that you be aware of your own breath and the quality of your voice in relationship to the breath and the quality of voice of all the others here. And if you know the prayer, you can say it aloud. And if not, you can just be receptive to the vibration of the prayer. This is the prayer that's given in as part of the sequence of evening prayers by Hasrataniya Khan. It's called Khatun. O Thou, who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear Thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us Thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us Thy great goodness, teach us Thy loving forgiveness, raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men. Send us the peace of Thy divine spirit, and unite us all in Thy perfect being. And we take our hands and we raise them, and we bless ourselves with the sound of singing. Oh.